Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. On this last day of March, March 31st, 2011, I'm Larry Jacobs, your host, as always, and welcome once again to Education Talk Radio. Now, I always like to tell people we have a website. Please go over there for our full schedule. You can also learn how to listen live to any of our shows and also learn an awful lot about the industry via our news section over there. Scroll down on the right, listen to any of our past shows. That's at www.educationtalkradio.wordpress.com, educationtalkradio.wordpress.com. And for our show today, which is going to be just terrific, we've got all the gang from SIIA, the Software and Information Industry Association's Education Wing. We've got them, and also they've brought along a special guest, my good buddy Lisa Schmucke. I'll bring them on in just a second. Lisa, as you know, is president of EdWeb.net. And we have a sponsor today. Our sponsor today is SellingToSchools.com, SellingToSchools.com, your best source of free sales and marketing advice from experts in the K-12 market. My good friend Glenn McCandless publishes SellingToSchools.com, which is packed with market insights and information. Glenn also wants you to know that he hosts Selling to Schools Radio, where he interviews the most successful school market professionals about their sales secrets and hot tips for your education marketing. Glenn also serves, by the way, on the marketing committee for the SIIA. Everything you need to be successful in the school marketplace is at www.sellingtoschools.com. SellingToSchools.com, and tell Glenn McCandless that Larry Jacobs says hello. We talk a lot anyway, but he'd always be pleased to know that you heard it here on Education Talk Radio. I have wonderful guests today, and I'm going to bring them on. Let me give them the proper introduction. Three guests today. We're going to be talking about game-based learning. Karen Billings, the Vice President of Education at the Software and Information Industry Association, more commonly known as SIIA. My good friend and my favorite Zimbabwean of all time, Pasiwa Mapendera, the Manager of Education Programs at SIIA. SIIA is a trade association whose members are the digital code and content providers. The education division serves education technology companies who develop products and services for K-12 and post-secondary students, educators, and administrators. SIIA is located in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, is our nation's capital. And you can learn more about them, and you should, at SIIA.net. Along with them is my pal Lisa Schmucke, the founder and CEO of EdWeb.net. If you've had your head in the sand for a while, let me tell you that EdWeb is a great professional social network. It is the professional social network for the education community that makes it easy for you to connect with peers, share information and best practices, spread innovative ideas, and provide professional development. EdWeb.net is located on the World Wide Web, but physically in Princeton, New Jersey. The website is www.edweb.net. And Lisa can be reached at edweb.net. Ladies, are you with us?
I am. This is Karen Billings. And this is
Hello, Karen Billings. Kasiwa, check in. Are you there?
Yes, I am here. Good morning.
Hi, Kasiwa. How are you?
I'm well.
And good morning, Larry. It's Lisa, too.
I know, Lisa. I was just going to say good morning to you, too, and I hope you're all having a great day. We're expecting a nor'easter tomorrow. In fact, you may even, here in Boston, are you having it today down there in D.C. or anything, Karen?
Well, it's cold and it's raining, so I'm not sure if it's a nor'easter, but it's not good news for our beautiful cherry trees.
Oh, no, that's right. The blossoms will blow all over the place.
They will. They will. They're in full bloom. Today is one of the highlights. They're a maximum bloom, so we don't want wind.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to have plenty of wind up here in Boston tomorrow. They are predicting in some areas up here a foot of snow. April Fools, it's true.
Oh, my. Yep,
a foot of snow.
We've had enough.
I think where I am, which is, yeah, we have. Here, I Just so people know, they're predicting that Logan Airport, which I live fairly close to, Logan Airport will just simply have rain and maybe a dribble. So hopefully folks won't be too delayed as they travel up to Boston. Tomorrow, April 1st, it's the good Lord's version of an April Fool's joke, I guess. Huh?
Yes.
All right. Karen, I want to start with you. We're going to be talking about game-based learning. And let me go over this. SIIA is the trade association whose members are the digital code and content providers. I always just refer to them as the high-tech guys. SIIA is the Software and Information Industry Association, and you and Tsiwa run that organization's education wing so fabulously, it's unbelievable. We'll talk about your San Francisco thing coming up shortly, which I'll be visiting. But you guys really understand this game-based learning. So let's start with Karen and tell me how SIIA, Karen, got interested in game-based learning and what you did once you started to get interested in it.
All right. Well, it comes from actually some of the very beginnings of the uses of computers. I won't spend too much time on EdTech history here, which, as you know, is a favorite passion of mine. But even when I taught...
You can spend some time on it.
When I taught programming way back in the late 60s, early 70s, there were no programs, microcomputers for the kids to use in games to play. They had to program them. And the reason I bring them up is that it's sort of come around now because we do have game platforms, but more on that later. When we taught programming and the kids could play some games, they started, it was pretty much on the old Commodore PET and the Apple IIe, et cetera. There were what they called Huntington simulations. But there was a program that everyone loved, even when we were using a teletype with punched paper tape back in Eugene, Oregon. And that was Oregon Trail. Oregon Trail, the kids would play on a teletype, and it would spit out in those, you know, very slow motion, like an old typewriter, that something was happening. You're starting on the trail, and you have to make a choice. You have this much money. What are you going to buy? And it would give them selections, and they would have to make their choices. And then, of course, they would be caught in situations where they would, need to make more choices. But the world then was actually in the students' minds, because what they had was a bit of text to give them the context, and they had to make choices. But that game design, which, by the way, came out of what was then called MEC, which was the Minnesota Education Computing Consortium, was developed, actually, by some social studies teachers there in the Minneapolis area. Turns out...
What year was this? What year are we talking about?
Let's just say it was 40 years ago. So you do the math. It was done
So you were 2 years old when you started doing this. I got that. Okay.
It was done on timeshare equipment. This was before the microcomputers. So when the microcomputers came out, they developed an Apple II version of it, and they could actually put some very, very, basic graphics up there to sort of see a stagecoach and, trees that looked like they were getting to Oregon and a trail, and they could make choices. But still, it was some graphics that didn't do much. As the equipment, the microcomputer equipment, got better, they very much, took advantage of the graphics and the sound and then the motion. And as the technology got better, then the game just got more alive and more real.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a game that has stood the test of time, again, because it was a good game design. And I think that's one of the things that our members and folks now are realizing, is that you really have to pay attention to that design. One of the negative kinds of designs that I saw early on when the Apple II first came out was a game called Hangman. Now, in that era, developing games that we already did with paper and pencil, and Hangman was a popular paper and pencil game. You know
right.
that. You draw the news, you draw a stick man, and then you put down some characters, some blanks, and then they try to guess the word. And on the computer, of course, each time you got closer to it, and if, of course, you didn't guess the word, guess what happened? The guy was hung. The stick man was hung. Well, kids, what do you suppose they do? They would, of course, purposely get it wrong because they would like to see what happened. They hung the guy. And, you know, true to form, they would have these little things come out of his neck looking like blood or whatever. It was like, so
right, exactly.
That game design was probably not the most positive. Teachers did not love it. So.
Yeah, but for states that still have the death penalty, it was helpful to train executioners, I would assume.
Something. I mean, but the training.
That was a joke. That was a bad joke, but it was a joke. Yeah.
But you bring up, the training aspect, and that's another group besides our own education members. The world of military, Department of Defense here, and
right.
The medical fields, health-wise. I mean, surgeons need to practice using some simulations. With bodies that they can sort of see on a screen, then maybe with some practice bodies, and then eventually a
right.
real body. Same thing
mm-hmm.
if you've got pilots trying to train to fly fighter jets. You don't want to put them in a jet and let them crash a $100 million vehicle. You need to practice. So the military and, which is to say here, the Department of Defense and Department of Energy, all of these guys
mm-hmm.
have really been funding strong game development, if you will, but mostly
mm-hmm.
in the form of simulations for many decades. So that's the history. What happened is that about 5 years ago, our board said, well, you know, there's a lot going on in the world of games, so let's have a working group on that and just sort of see, what the interest is. And so 5 years ago, we did that. They put together several different things. They wanted to see what the research said because it, you
right.
know, still a lot of there are a lot of issues with teachers getting parent buy-in and things for using games in the classroom. It was very much a supplemental kind of purchase, if it was purchased at all. But we looked at the research. We found quite a bit in terms of the advantages of using game design, what it was that kids were learning. And we looked at things that were, for training, looking at professional development for teachers. We also looked at embedded assessments that come within games and some simulations as a way of really doing much more formative assessment. And so we looked at all that. We published a couple of documents, some resources that are available to teachers. And we also went out to the Florida, FETC. We went to
sure.
some conferences and just gave presentations on, what it was that we knew, what we had learned, what we saw happening in the world. Those sessions were always packed. So we could see the interest there.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
But after a couple of years, then we got this last project done, which was we actually did it with a tool called EdRoom, and Glenn McCandless knows about this as well because he worked with the folks at IESD, the Interactive Education Software Design, to develop this, and it's like an online focus group. Our working group posed a number of questions as to, how the teachers who were successful using games had set it up so that they did experience success. And they gave us a lot of hints and things, and we sort of put them into some categories. We published that. We call it, best practices for using games
mm-hmm.
in the classroom. And it's still one of our most downloaded publications from the website. It is available to any and all. It's free. It's just downloadable as a PDF. And it basically shared everything that we knew about games up to about 2 years ago.
Well, now, would people go to, I know your website, SIIA.net, www.SIIA, that's Software and Information Industry Association, SIIA.net, and they could go there and anyone can download the best practices for game-based learning.
You bet. And if they go into there's a vertical nav bar on the left that says For Educators, and if they go
mm-hmm.
to that For Educators, they will see a number of things, as we've talked about in the past, including our Vision K-20 and other things, but there is
mm-hmm.
something there that is just about, very obviously about games. And when they click on that, they will see the various things that they can download. They can download some of our presentations. They can download the resources on the research that we found. And, you know, sort of the best thing that really pulls it all together in my mind is the best practices for using games and simulations. And I'm going to suggest that we move on to Lisa, because this is sort of
exactly.
Then the pickup from the results of this, then within our division with Education Publishers, has sort of transformed some things that she's doing on EdWeb.
And I want to transition to Lisa. I just want to make one point, and we have a lot of teachers and educators who are our listeners. We have thousands of them, as a matter of fact. And I want to make the point that SIIA is not it's not an organization that's top of the teachers' minds, but it is one of the most important, I'm going to say, for a teacher, behind-the-scenes organization, because that's the group that represents all of the high-tech products that you folks use in your classrooms, in your schools, if you're administrators, et cetera. They're another great source. This is why I want to push the website a little bit. They're another great source of fantastic educational technology information. One of the things we'd like to do is make sure people know what's out there. Okay, SIIA.net, Software and Information Industry Association. There's a lot of stuff there for teachers, and it's great stuff. And I'll tell you before we move on to Lisa that the high degree of interest that comes out of your meetings, and I've been to them, okay, is just phenomenal. Your members are a group that wants to really push the very best in education. So on that note, game-based learning, best practices, okay? Lisa Schmucke, you're president of EdWeb.net. You're connected to the best practices publication. Tell us what EdWeb.net, your social networking educational community, is doing and what their interest is in game-based learning. You're on, Lisa.
Hi, Larry, and thank you.
Hi,
Karen,
Lisa.
To see you. It's great to be on this call with you. You know, a little background on this. We've been working with SIIA for a while, and we launched EdWeb about 4 years ago to be a social network for everyone involved in education. And I just can't thank SIIA enough for the support that they've given us as a new startup company to make connections and alliances with other companies in the industry, particularly educational associations and nonprofits. Profits and companies. So everyone, the whole point with EdWeb is for it to be a platform where people from industry, educators all across the country can collaborate and work together. Because often we go to these conferences and we're in kind of separate worlds. So the industry might have conferences where they might have educators on panels, but generally the educators might not attend. Or we go to teacher
exactly.
conferences where the industry has, you know, trade booths, you know, and might be on panels a little bit, but they tend to be more educator-focused. So one of the great things
right.
about this technology is a more broader-based collaboration. So Karen and I were talking about ways we could help SIIA bring in the voice of the teacher or the voice of the educator, and they're working on a number of different initiatives in this area. But what we hit on was that they had such success with the report that they issued on best practices using games in the classroom, and that this is something that's so broadly of interest. Whether you're an educator, whether you're an association member, whether you're a game developer or a company that sells games, this appeals to everybody. So we said, why don't we set up a community, like a professional learning community on EdWeb, and invite everybody
mm-hmm.
to come in and play, essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
yep.
we talked a lot about what the best model is for this, and essentially what we do is we're now going to host a webinar every month with somebody new and interesting who's working in the field, so we can get different perspectives from people working in academia, people who are game developers, people who are selling games, educators who are using them in the classroom, and we've got a great lineup of speakers so far. Lee Wilson, who's the president of PCI Education, was our first speaker just this week, and we had over 100 educators, industry representatives, all talking together, including a live chat dialogue that was very exciting. And what you can see instantly is how, on this topic, everybody wants to share information. and they want to talk about different websites, different games, challenges that they have in the classroom. It is so exciting to see a teacher post something about what she'd like to do and have a developer answer, or have developers talk to each other about, well, what are you working on? I'd like to work with you. And suddenly, who knows what might come out of that partnership. So I think the possibilities are, you know, truly unlimited, the way we can help people connect and learn and build a better level of knowledge and experience with all this.
And, you know, I'll tell you something. You remember the movie and the play, 6 Degrees of Separation, that everybody separated from everybody by by basically six connections. And in reality, what's happening with things like EdWeb out there, all right, that is being reduced to 1 degree of separation. And Lee Wilson, who's president, I'm sure he did a great job
at PCI. Yeah,
and I'm sure, he was thrilled to have teachers be able to get in touch and talk directly and all that, because you can get removed, and you don't want to. They really don't want that. They want input from everybody. And,
Larry, everybody wants it both ways. Yeah, everybody who we've talked to about this, people have all agreed to participate. I mean, they've been more than willing to be part of this series. And so we know that this is going to go on for a long time, because there's so many people who are interested in participating.
Karen, were you on the webinar by chance on EdWeb? Were you guys on there?
Oh, yes. No, I listened and I asked questions and responded to people. That online chat feature that goes on while, you know, someone is talking is great, because it really shows the kind of interest that people have.
Yeah, and I hope that increases up to the numbers into the thousands. At least just quickly tell people how they can get involved with that.
Anybody who would like to join the game-based learning community can just go to edweb.net/gaming, and you'll be able to register for EdWeb and automatically be a member of that community. So we would love to have anyone join, and it's really going to keep growing from here. We already have 600 members.
Who
are collaborating together, and we just launched this past month. So,
and that's game. You have 600 members collaborating on the gaming.
Yes, EdWeb
itself. You have far more than that on EdWeb.
Yeah, we have 15,000 members now. So we're growing, and most of our members, you know, we don't try to be Facebook and have 400 million members. We want to have people who are serious professionals, you know, certified or qualified in their field, who can engage in conversation that everybody is going to find to be rich and valuable. So that's our goal, and it seems to be working.
And I understand the sequel of the Social Network movie will feature EdWeb. Is that correct?
No, I think one of the interesting
is it Kate Winslet or Cameron Diaz who's going to portray you in the sequel?
I know you keep thinking all three of us are going to go to Hollywood, and we're going to take you with us.
Believe me, you'll have to fight for me with my wife, but you might be able to win, for goodness sakes.
But I can't thank SIIA enough for lending their support to this program, because it just shows again that when we work together and collaborate and help each other, that we're just, you know, we're stronger and we can do more doing that. And so we wouldn't be where we are today if it were not for them. And it's just great to have these kinds of partnerships in all aspects of education help us all to move forward faster.
Right. I'm glad we're doing this show, as I'm always thrilled to have SIIA on, because I want the educators, the people in the trenches, so to speak, to know that SIIA exists. And though it is a, quote, industry association for software and information, the things that they do impact every single day in the world of education, and they want the teachers to be more involved. And you can learn that at SIIA.net, and they're, of course, involved at EdWeb.net with this game-based learning thing and all that. All right, so Tasiwa, you still on the line?
I sure am.
This is Tasiwa Mapandera, the manager of educational programs at SIIA, and a better person you could not find on the face of the earth. Okay? Tasiwa, let me ask you. There's game-based learning. Okay, you have a lot of education members. So do you see similar interest in game-based learning by your education members, who are also the publishers of the digital code and content for schools?
Larry, absolutely. When our first working group on games sunsetted 2 years ago, they had produced resources, including a reference document, which was the best practices for using games in the classroom. They had done a number of presentations and had done a lot of work, and they felt that their work was done. But at our most recent annual planning meeting for the Education Division Board, a decision was made to resurrect Games for Learning as a critical initiative and a focus for the year ahead. So we opened a call for interested members to join a working group. And in January, we got extremely strong interest. So I think that's an indication there. And so to understand the interests and the needs of the broader industry, that working group decided to conduct a survey. So we recently deployed the survey to our members and received very strong response. Over 90 individuals responded, and we're just beginning now to tabulate the results, but very pleased that the responses come from a very healthy cross-section of companies, both in terms of the size and their market focus. So I'm talking about, you know, whether we're talking about the K-12 spectrum or post-secondary, and then, of course, a number of folks who are across, you know, the K-20 focus. So what we're going to be doing is doing some further analysis of our responses to really tease out what the core interests are of the industry. But in this initial phase, I can definitely say that the board was right. Games in education is a hot item for the industry, and SIA has an important role to play in supporting thought leadership on this issue.
And let me just, I'm just going to keep saying this because it's so important. Groups like SIIA and all those people who produce the products that are members of SIIA want educators' input, and you can learn more about that at SIIA.net. And I don't think I'm overstepping to say that, am I, Tosiwa?
No, not at all. I appreciate it.
You know, yeah, because, I mean, the group, and I just keep wanting to say this, it's such a powerful group and so well-organized, et cetera, and it works so great for the industry. The industry, I just want to say, is this is probably the most responsive industry in the world to the needs of their customers, which are the administrators, the school districts, the teachers, and, of course, the students and parents at the end of the line. So there's no more responsive industry in the universe than the education industry, and I hope people take advantage, all the people who are listening, to what SIIA is doing and how it's being put forth for the world of education via a social network like edweb.net, and it's all there. And Lisa, give that address again to go over and find out more about the, again, join up with the game-based learning thing.
Of course, Larry. It's edweb.net/gaming.
Okay, edweb.net, www.edweb.net/gaming. Karen,
yes.
I want to ask you another question because I'm going to see you at the end of May, which is going to be here in about 10 minutes, as you know, as we all age together. It'll be here in about 10 minutes, and you have a San Francisco conference coming up. You want to say a little bit about that?
Yes, it is May 22nd through the 24th in, as you said, San Francisco, and it is our whole theme, again, as an industry group, is to look at the growing business, but how to grow business in what we consider a very changing market, given that, you know, people are transitioning to mobile, the world is becoming more global, schools are interested in things around personalized learning or games. We've got a growth in our post-secondary work, and so we've got a lot of program around that. And we also have our CODI Awards. Within our CODI Awards, which I think we're going to talk about next time.
Yes.
The interesting thing, though, is that we do have a CODI Award for the best game, game or simulation for education, designed for education. And we've got a number of, we had a lot, as you can tell, a lot of interest in that, so a lot of nominees,
right.
And then a
right.
lot of educators who are judges chose that as, of course, the category that they wanted to judge. So we had, that worked out really well. But either be, you know, entertaining scenarios or imitate real-life environments, but it really does need to have some instructional or diagnostic or assessment tool so that it's useful to both students, teachers, and administrators so that, you know, it's a good use of funds if it's purchased. So we're looking
for fantastic.
But which game or simulation will win the best product or service category, and that's going to be that Monday night on May 23rd. And I think we're going to talk more about Cody's coming up in our next...
We are. I just looked it up. You guys are scheduled. SIIA will be back with us here on Education Talk Radio on April 28th. It's a Thursday, and we have the show scheduled for noon that day. And, of course, it'll be up on the schedule long before it goes on. But well, we do have it scheduled. So make sure, ladies, that it's in your on your calendar, et cetera. And, Lisa Schmucke, you know you're always welcome here, my friend.
I know, and I love to be here. Thank you, Larry.
Well, you're always welcome. Tasiwa, do you have anything that you would like to say before we leave today?
Nothing except thank you very much for welcoming us back today.
You are welcome anytime. Yes. Believe me, you are welcome anytime, and I mean that sincerely. Thank you, ladies, very much. I'll review it. I will give you all the MP3 of the show, and I'll have it up on our site at educationtalkradio.wordpress.com in about a half an hour or so.
And,
okay?
Oh, and Larry? Larry?
Yes.
Let's
mention
to everybody that they can also find the interviews on EdWeb as well.
Thank you.
EdWeb.net, our homepage. You can listen to Education Talk Radio there as well.
Right. And I think to Theo.
Thank you, Lisa. And I should have said that. And I did. Thank you. Thank you.
And
my
thank
bad.
You.
Go figure that one out, okay? Thank you, Lisa. Yes, you can always listen at edweb.net. You'd think I would mention that, for goodness sake. Sorry, Lisa.
Yep.
It's all right. Just so they know. They'll find you there, too.
Now I've got deep Jewish guilt, so I have to go repent.
It's okay.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Tasiwa. Love having you guys on.
Our
yes, thank you all.
Bye-bye.
That was my friend Lisa Schmucke, edweb.net. If you're not a member of EdWeb, please go over. Take a look. If you're in education, you need to be over there. Their membership has almost doubled in the past year thanks to Lisa's hard work and the great stuff that she is doing over there. Edweb.net, and you can join their group on gaming, edweb.net/gaming. Don't be left out of educational technology. Okay, there are great groups out there in education technology, and of course one of them is ISTE. That show's coming up in Philadelphia, and that's open to educators, etc. ISTE. Another fabulous group, and one of my favorite guests are the ones we just had, and that is SIIA, the Software and Information Industry Association. That's the industry group, and although educators per se, as of this time, are not members of it per se, the classroom teacher, et cetera, is not. This is where the industry meets and talks about digital code, new games, all the technology that you use in your classroom. And I can tell you for a fact, the one goal they have, and they are a business, the education industry is a business, but the one goal they have is to make education better and all those high-tech products that are out there. Come out of groups and meetings and stuff that are produced by SIIA, and when the industry gets together, they're sincere, they mean well, and it's groups like, again, SIIA that make it happen. Go over there, SIIA.net/education. You'll learn all about Karen. You'll learn all about the SIWA. You'll learn about all the things they're doing, and you'll be amazed at the things that you can find on there that will enhance your teaching, make your school that much better. When we had Jan Bray on from ACTE a week or so ago, the Career and Technical Education Group, she said the goal is to make the classroom bigger and the world smaller. And that's what groups like SIIA do. That's what social networks like EdWeb.net do. Okay, so thank you, ladies, Lisa, Tasiwa, and Karen, for being with us today. Tomorrow, we've got a great show. Tomorrow, Stuart Udell, who's the president of Catapult Learning, is going to be taught. He's the president of a major, major group on dropout prevention. And he is a nationally known educator and leader in the education world. That show will be at 11 o'clock tomorrow. You can listen live at blogtalkradio.com, or you can always listen to the archive, which will be at my website, educationtalkradio.wordpress.com, just as today's show with SIIA, and all of our shows are. And we have the full schedule on there as well. Today's show was presented by SellingToSchools.com. It's the best source of free sales and marketing advice from experts in the K-12 market if you're looking to market your product in the K-12 market. Our friend and SIIA's friend, Glenn McCandless, publishes SellingToSchools.com, which is packed with market insights and information. Glenn also wants you to know that he hosts Selling to Schools Radio, which, by the way, is on Blog Talk Radio, Selling to Schools Radio, where he interviews the most successful school market professionals about their sales secrets and hot tips for your education marketing. If there's any educators out there who are looking, by the way, to get into the industry side of the education world, it would help you to go to SellingToSchools.com. And if you are in the industry, which many of you are today, I suggest that you go over there and use it. It's really great stuff. Glenn, by the way, also serves on the marketing committee for the Software and Information Industry Association. SellingToSchools.com, everything you need to be successful in the school marketplace is over there, www.sellingtoschools.com. Great show tomorrow with Stuart Udell on dropout prevention. That'll be at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Listen live, listen on the archives. This is Larry Jacobs thanking my guests, thanking Glenn McCandless at SellingToSchools.com, thanking you all for listening to today's Education Talk Radio.